Welcome to The Creative Shift. My name is Dan Blank, author of the book Be the Gateway and founder of WeGrowMedia.com. Today, I want to take you through my five-part system for conducting marketplace research. So if you are a writer or an artist or a creator of any sort, what does this mean? What is marketplace research and what does it matter? So the other way to look at this is the idea of learning to understand how people share about books, about art online. Marketplace research is a very simple term to describe what it means for people to be sharing and talking about books online. I'll use the example of an author in this podcast. And when I talk to writers and when I talk to creatives of any sort, oftentimes there feels like there's this moat, this gap, this ocean between, well, here's what I create and why, and then here's out there, over there, I know people talk about this kind of work, and I don't know who they are, I don't know where they are, I don't know what they talk about, and I don't know how to find my way into that. So marketplace research, in many ways, is a very critical part of the process of understanding what is word of mouth marketing. And if you're a creator, this is the thing. This is the kind of marketing that you want, the kind where people are looking at what you create, loving it, interacting with it, and sharing it with other people, people that you would have no other way of connecting with. And I think this also comes into some practical ways where all I do every day is work with writers and creators. And it's a very common thing for someone to be like, look, I know I should be on this channel, or I really want to be active on Instagram, or I read an article about TikTok and that it's really big for sharing books right now. But, and then comes all of the fears, the lack of knowledge, which of course is fine, and sometimes the excuses about why they can't be on that platform. And marketplace research to me is the bridge between those two things. It's the system to understand, observe, analyze the market without feeling an immediate pressure to have to dive into it. In my book, Be the Gateway, I talk a bit about how social fear is a really big thing that keeps people from learning how to communicate about their book, to how to develop connections with other people, and in the process, a trusting network of people around what you create and why. So marketplace research to me is a very specific way of unlocking a lot of that. So I was thinking about this recently in terms of TikTok, because I remember a few months ago, there was a big article, I think, in the New York Times about BookTok, which is people talking about books on TikTok. So it would be like a hashtag, #BookTok, and how it really become a thing. And I have certainly observed in many ways how TikTok has gone from, oh, one of these other social networks that are coming up and it's popular with the kids, to being something that is becoming very mainstream and really driving a lot of what social media is becoming. It's become huge. And you can see that in other ways where TikTok is, if you're not super familiar, you know, it's these vertical videos that kind of loop. And you'll notice on Instagram, now they have Instagram Reels, which are vertical videos that loop. And there was an interview with the Instagram CEO, if I'm not mistaken, back in maybe September, talking about how the future of Instagram is video. And on YouTube, you have YouTube Shorts, which, drumroll please, are vertical videos that loop. And they're just seeing a lot of engagement around this, and they're putting a lot more there. I've seen lots of examples where on a platform like YouTube or Instagram, they are more likely to reward you for creating a reel or a short, meaning showing it to more people, getting you more views on that than if you do a regular story post or regular video or a regular kind of Instagram square photo. So the idea of marketplace research to me is this idea of doing primary research. Instead of just reading an article of top 10 best practices for using TikTok, which is someone else looking at it, then you reading their summation and never going on TikTok, and then you having a conclusion. Want to avoid that. I want you to find a very safe way to do primary research, to go into the ecosystem. In this case, it's TikTok, but for you, maybe it's Instagram or YouTube or Etsy or something else. What is a system for you to look at it yourself and have a process to work through that instead of opening it up, being confused, and shutting it down? Okay, so the five steps are: number one, find a way in. Number two, observe and listen. Number three, celebrate and engage. Number four, analyze. And number five, strategize. And we're going to go through them now. I'm going to give the example throughout this of how I'd recommend someone do this, or even how I've been doing this with TikTok. I'm not really active on TikTok as someone sharing there, but I've been observing it. And more I'm spending a bit more time there because everything I said before, it's a fascinating ecosystem where there are so many creators doing interesting things in new ways, and it's driving the marketplace for some kinds of art out there. So for step one, finding a way in, the basics are always kind of walking right through the front door. So for something like TikTok, either going to TikTok.com and setting up an account, or maybe more likely downloading the app on your phone. It's going to really want to live natively on your phone, and downloading the app and creating an account. So maybe you're thinking of this not for TikTok, maybe it's Instagram, maybe it's something else. So you have to swap that in as needed. And just kind of walking through the front door, they ask you to set up a profile. Okay, let me put my name in there. Let me put a bio in, that sort of thing. And you've got to measure a little bit your comfort level. Maybe you're still too nervous about it where you're saying, I'm not going to upload the profile photo yet if I don't have to. I'm going to put Dan B at first because I'm so nervous I'm doing it wrong. I don't want my full name out there. You've got to measure that, but I'd love for you to find a way through it for whatever channel you're looking at. Even though I'm pretty sure you can create a TikTok account just on the website, I would recommend you looking at the app as well, because even if you're not using the app at all right now, you're not creating, you're not posting, it is useful. This is something that is about being on your phone and recording video on your phone. To see it that way is a little helpful to realize all the tools that they have. You don't have to understand any of them yet. It's just a little helpful. But for doing the kind of research we're talking about here, I tend to prefer to do it on the big computer screen because, one, the computer is not aggressively trying to get me to share like the app is. And two, it's a much bigger screen, so it means I can really look at a lot more. It's easier if I'm on a 27-inch monitor versus a whatever 5-inch iPhone screen, that sort of thing. Okay, and then once you get your account set up and they finally show you like a homepage, like you're in, start exploring, chances are they're showing you viral videos already. Some video of something you didn't ask for that's immediately playing, and it's something. I don't even know what it would be. And you might think, like, I don't know what this is. So the first thing is, because I mentioned BookTok before, you can go up the search bar and just type in BookTok. Click enter. And now what should come up are all of the posts of people who are using the hashtag BookTok, which would be people talking about books on TikTok. Okay, that is step one, finding a way in. Step two is observing and listening. In some ways, this is a very simple step, but I think that we often tend to complicate it. This step is basically just click on some of those videos. Click on one of the first videos that come up in the BookTok hashtag and watch it. Watch it from beginning to end. Then close that, click on a different one. Watch it beginning to end. Close that one, do that with 5 or 10 videos. And right away, I say it's complicated because a lot of people would say, oh, I don't, this is about a fantasy book and I don't write fantasy books. Or they start making conclusions right away. All of these are about fantasy books. All of TikTok is about fantasy books. I don't write fantasy books. TikTok is not for me. Goodbye. And that's what I want to avoid, is that idea of closing down an entire channel that you feel curious about or you feel might be a part of the marketplace without really giving it a shot. Because even if that's true, if your conclusions are right on the money, it's such a wildly growing network. There's a reason you're looking at it. Maybe in 6 months or 8 months or a year or 2 months, it extends beyond that. And here you are, you could have had a good understanding of how the platform works a little early. And then in a year from now, when it really takes off in a different way for your kind of book or your kind of art, you would not feel resistant. You would feel like, oh, I have an understanding of how it works. Maybe now I'll look at it more seriously. And this is really where you do a lot of observation. And I often will like write this stuff down. You want to look for what this is. So you can write down a really specific list of things, which is, you know, what are you seeing? Oh, it's video, it's looped, it tends to be this, tends to be that. Keep scrolling and keep clicking and just kind of keep listening to it. Don't be offended right away if you say, oh, every one of these videos is music. I don't like modern music. I can't be on TikTok. You can write, oh, it's mostly music. Note that in your head, but don't turn it off yet. The next step is to, one more thing with that, is try to keep finding different kinds of videos. Click on videos you're like, oh, I don't think I'd like that, or, you know, different styles of videos, different creators. You could even go so far as doing kind of different searches in the hashtags, but I'd probably try to keep it really simple at first. The next step would be celebrate engage, which is to find a safe, easy way to understand how the community interacts. So you can notice, oh, there's like a way to heart this video, or there are people commenting on it. What are people saying in those comments? Oh, there's a way to reshare it. Oh, okay. I don't know how to do that, and I'm not going to do that yet. But that sort of thing. Then consider, is there a safe way for you to do that? Could you click that little heart button on a video that you thought was like, oh, that was pretty clever? Or, boy, they seem so excited about a book. I like people excited about books. Click heart. Or is there a very simple way to just leave a comment? And I think that this is that differentiator between feeling like you're on the outside and you're pushing it away versus feeling like you're a part of this in some way. And I like using real world examples for this. You can think of, it's 1978 and you're invited to a book reading in Manhattan. You take the train in and you're like, oh my gosh, look, it's the big city. And look, and you walk up to the bookstore, big glass front, and you look inside. It's all these people. And to you, you think these are the literati insiders. Look at how elegant everyone is. Look, they're all in conversation. They know how to do this. They're all well-read. And you're looking through the window. And you in your head, you're sort of like, you know what? I don't know how to do that. I'm going to leave. Versus taking the step of saying, I'm just going to walk in. Not going to stay that long. I'm not going to check my coat. I'm not going to take a seat at the front or anything, but I'm just going to walk in and just see what happens. I will be honest with people, that sort of thing. And just give yourself that moment of feeling like I could be a part of this. Don't do anything risky. That's that idea of celebrating engaging. Is there a way for you to just celebrate what's happening there in a very safe way? And sometimes that takes time. Sometimes it means on day one, you are definitely not doing anything. Maybe day five, you know, you go in every day. But on day six or seven, you say, okay, I understand this ecosystem enough that now I've done 5 minutes a day for a week. I'll start clicking like on some things, or I'll start commenting, very general comments. Thank you. This was amazing. You're awesome. Really simple things. And just seeing how that works. Again, sometimes I find it removes the fear or the apprehension we have or the quick assumptions that we make by just getting involved in little ways, little bit each day. Step four is a big one. It's analyze. And this is where you've gotten a sense of lay of the land. You've just kind of looked around at things, but now you want to say, okay, what am I seeing here? What's really going on? So this is where I would look at every little facet of what's going on. So I'd look at a bunch of these videos. Maybe I would have followed a bunch of people, which is how I do it on TikTok. I did a lot of book talk searches and just started following people. And I did that so that every time I open up TikTok and I go to my people or whatever, the people I'm following, all I see are people talking about books. So I'm seeing that. again and again and again. I'm immersing myself in that corner of it. And I'm noticing things now. What is the topic or a focus of certain videos? Are people talking about one book? Are they talking about best of? Are they doing a funny video? What is that? So I'm noticing that. What's the framing of a specific video? I'm noticing how they create a video. Are there edits in the video or not? If so, how many edits are there? I'm looking at how many different elements are put together. Is it a video, but then they've got clip art, and then they have emojis? What are they bringing together here? I'm looking at the music, and music is a huge part of TikTok. So I'm thinking, how are they using music? Is the music just kind of background, or is it very specifically integrated into the video? I'm looking at, is the person on camera or not? I'm looking at, how is the shot framed? If the person's in there, is it close? Is it far away? Is it just in a normal room in their house? Is it on a set? Is it a close-up of a book on the table? Is it far away on a bookshelf? Is it outdoors or indoors? I'm thinking about the way that they lit the image. Does it look like it's really well lit? Are they, you know, what are they doing there? What are the different ways of featuring a book? You know, are they doing the cover? Are they holding it up? Are they spinning it? There's lots of neat edits people do, I'm noticing, with books. Are they showing the spine? Are they inside the book? Are they showing it next to other books? Is there movement in the video? Are they just locked down and they're talking? Or are they doing these things of like they're holding the book up and they're moving it back? Are they twisting it? Are they coming into the shot? Are they leaving? How is movement integrated into this? Again, no pressure yet for you to do any of this. Just noticing all the elements of that. Is there text on screen? Are they trying to be funny or not? Or are they trying to be earnest or whatever other emotion you want to put in there? How frequently do they share? How often do they put a new post up there? What is in the text area of the video, the part where they can write something? What hashtags are they using? How are other people reacting in the comments? How many views and likes and comments did it even get? What do they put in their profile? What is their profile image, the text area, if they give a link, what's there? And you're looking at all this to understand what is common. What are the things that you're observing? Sometimes it's just knowing, here are the common things I'm seeing from my own primary research. Other times you're thinking what resonates with you. And what I find in this process is that this is where you begin to find a way to feel an authentic connection. Because you might find, oh my gosh, there's one person that, you know, I really actually love the way that they do it. Or I've noticed there's three kinds of videos, this, this, and that. I really gravitate towards this third kind, though. You start just noticing what's normal there. So even if you stop at this point, which you shouldn't because there are two more steps, or one more step, sorry. At least now when people say the word TikTok or book talk, you might not get a shiver up your spine saying, I don't know what that is. Think of something funny and quippy to say that dismisses the conversation. You can have an understanding of, oh, I know what that is. I know what that tends to look like. I vaguely know what people tend to share. I could have a conversation, or I could be like, oh, what do you think of it? So you start having that. You even start thinking about what is going into this. And even the bigger question, which is why? Why is this a thing? Why are people on TikTok of all places sharing about books of all things? What is going on here? What are they feeling as a creator? What are people feeling as a commenter? What am I feeling as observing this? And then from there, that's the last step. It's the strategy step. It's thinking about, gee, should I pay attention to this? Should I just keep exploring it? Or should I keep logging in every day for the next 30 days to observe that? Is this an effective way to talk about books? If so, should I get on TikTok? If so, what would I share? What's the minimum viable way of me doing that? Maybe I'm never on camera, but I'll do, you know, a flat lay, like, you know, a book on a thing, and I'll open it up and there'll be words on the screen and I'll pick some music in the background. Something we're very safe feeling in a way. And you've got to think about, are your potential readers on here? Are potential agents or booksellers or librarians on here? Will they be? And it just gives you options. It gives you an understanding and it gives you options. And if you decide not to take any action right now to do anything on a new platform, again, we're just using TikTok as an example, that's fine. I realize that you maybe don't ever want to create videos or the platform just doesn't feel right to you. But I would at least love for you to understand that. And the thing I always think about when we talk about what can a writer do to find their readers, to engage with people, is if you say, you know what, boy, TikTok is not for me for these five amazing reasons. I'm totally, of course, fine with that. What I always think is that's great. What else will you do to connect with readers instead? Because the thing that I fear is always that someone says, you know what, here's why Twitter isn't right for me. Here's why Instagram isn't right. Here's why TikTok isn't right. Here's why blogging isn't right. Here's why newsletters aren't right. Here's why private online forums aren't right. And they're all really good rational things. And then it's sort of like, okay, fine. Those were great arguments. What are you going to do to engage with readers? And oftentimes they'll say, I missed the day years ago before the internet. Which I've talked to a lot of writers about. And, you know, one of my favorite stories that I think embodies this is when I was talking to best-selling author Tom Grenius. And he had talked about how in the early 80s, when he was getting, I think, his first book out there, he got in his car, and I think he had a funny way of saying it, my Oldsmobile, whatever. He put a whole bunch of books in the trunk. He was living in California. He drove within something like a 100-mile or 200-mile radius of every bookstore he could find. He got in his car, he drove to these bookstores, he walked in on a random Tuesday afternoon, and did a cold call, essentially. He talked to whoever's behind the counter, showed them the book, and hoped that that moment was a good moment, there was the right person behind the counter, that he could, you know, give a good pitch, build rapport, maybe get the book placed there, then get in his car, drive to another town, do that again, get in his car, drive to another town, do that again, get again and again and again. And that's how marketplace research happened before the internet. So it's something I think about, which is as we reject ideas of how to share our work in a meaningful manner, how are we then replacing that with something you do want to do? And it's just that challenge. Because we all have the option to not do any of this, to just create and never share. And if that's what you want, if that's what gives you meaning, then 100% behind it. That's great. But a lot of people do want their work to be shared. They do want to feel like they have meaningful ways to connect with readers. And this system, this five-part marketplace research process, is one of the ways that I dig into that. This is one of the things I do with writers every single day. It's a much smaller part of a bigger system that I have. So I just wanted to put that out there. Let me know if this is helpful. If you ever want me to be working with you and helping, go to wegrowmedia.com and click on the Work With Me tab, and you can kind of see how I do that. And let me know if you're a writer or an artist or creator, what other questions do you have? How else can I help here in this podcast or my blog and newsletter to dig into these topics, to give you ways of feeling like you have an effective way of identifying who your readers are and where they are and how you can engage with them. My name again is Dan Blank. You can find me on social media at Dan Blank and of course at wegrowmedia.com. Thank you so much for listening until the end.